Now I'm going to take you back to a landmark moment in Australian children's television.
Ho, 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 it's far away we go, to a land that's far across the sea. Hey, 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 for a little while we'll stay, and be home in time for tea. Set sail, set sail, sunshine or in gale, fun we'll have, we'll be really grand. Hurrah, hurrah, follow the guiding star, and come with us to Adventure Island. Everyone can come, all of you and a big brass band. Bing bong, bing bong, sound sailing gone, for now we're leaving for
Do you remember that? I was singing along there. It is the theme played at the beginning of Adventure Island, a popular ABC children's TV show broadcast in the 60s and the early 70s. It was the successor to the equally popular Magic Circle Club. The creator and director of both shows, Godfrey Phillip, died last month, and he'll be remembered today in a memorial service in Melbourne. I'm joined by actress Liz Harris, who played Lisa on Adventure Island, and writer and childhood fan Beth Spencer. Welcome both of you to Life Matters.
Oh, hi, Richard. And I'm crying. I was taken right back to the studio when I heard that.
Oh.
That's just so beautiful.
Yeah. Hey, Beth.
Yes.
What was so special about the show for you as a child?
Oh, look, the opening gave me goosebumps just there. It was such an amazing program, the way it drew you in. You were sort of sitting in your lounge room and the music would start, and that amazing little logo of the guiding star, the compass thing, and then that would take you through this glittery forest curtains that would part for you as you go down this pathway, and then you'd go open the door and go into the house, and then eventually they'd open up the book, and there inside the book the people from Diddly Dum Diddly would be frozen in time, just waiting for us to sort of breathe life into them.
It was designed for, I think, 2 to 5 year olds. I was just at the upper end of that when I caught it, and the character spoke directly to you in camera close ups. Now, we see that on Play School, but these were fantasy characters.
Godfrey Phillip was just a genius, and he was so innovative. All these things that we take for granted about children's TV now, sort of, he kind of brought them together in this thing. He used pantomime, fairy tale, vaudeville, song and dance. A lot of stuff that was actually only available to sort of a lot of middle-class kids. I mean, I grew up in a house where we didn't have any of those fantasy books. I never saw a pantomime. And so you could be all over Australia, children were united by being taken right into this rich little world where they got all their senses delighted, all sorts of cultural things, song and dance. It was just beautiful. And then the characters would come up to the camera and whisper something to us or say something. Or even when they were talking in a little group, they'd turn around and catch our eye. And so we've drawn right in there. We're included in so many different ways.
Liz, if I come to you, because you played the character of Lisa.
Yes.
How would you sum her up?
Well, when I first heard that John Michael had written the Adventure Island and that we were with this character Lisa, I immediately thought of her as like Alice in Wonderland, as that she wasn't this simpering little girl that came on, but she had a bit of attitude about her and had a lot of fun with the character. So that's what happened, and the outfit that I wore was very similar to Alice in Wonderland.
Yes. She was also sensible, which is important because she was surrounded by characters that perhaps were not very sensible.
Well, they weren't. They were really silly. A clown and a pantomime dame and two pandas, not to mention the Miser Meanie and Fester Fumble, the villains.
The baddies, yes.
Yes, the baddies. And Lisa sort of had to pull everybody together in the end and have a wonderful idea. And this is where Godfrey was so clever, that he was able to... He was so innovative with the way that he directed the show, and there was and very creative. And technically, it was an extraordinary show to work on, because he was trying out new things all the time. And, of course, it did take a lot of time to try out these new ideas. So it used to run over time a lot.
Well, that's it. I mean, he pioneered some special effects. Yeah.
He really did. He really did stuff that nobody had seen and nobody had done. And he was trying it out on this funny little children's show called Adventure Island, although he had done quite a bit of stuff with Channel 10 and the Magic Circle Club.
Yeah.
He had done quite a bit from there.
There
were
people flying through the air and the light bulb over their head.
That's right, yes. I always had a good idea on Friday, and that was the light bulb. And you had to freeze at times while something else happened behind you. And it was just extraordinary.
You already mentioned the writer was
John Michael
Howson,
yes,
who played Clown.
Yes,
he's now more famous as a sort of celebrity gossip columnist. It was quite a cast of characters, wasn't it?
Well, it was. And one of the things I remember, because we all remember John Michael very clearly, we used to sit in the dressing room and in the makeup department, and Clown would be being made up in this extraordinary white face. The makeup was just fabulous at the ABC, and so were the costumes, and the sets were just so beautiful. And Clown would be there in the makeup chair being made up as a clown, telling us all about the politics of the day. And I always thought that was an extraordinary thing to see what was coming out of this clown's mouth, because that's what he does today.
On Life Matters today, we are talking about Adventure Island. The creator and director of it, Godfrey Phillip, died last month. There will be a memorial service today in Melbourne. And with me is Liz Harris, who played Lisa. You'll remember her. And also writer and childhood fan Beth Spencer. Beth, was Godfrey Phillip seen... Well, he's clearly an innovator. Was he seen that way at the time by his colleagues in television?
I think definitely. I think a lot of directors that went on afterwards would tell you that they were influenced by him. But you've got to remember, at the time that it started, it was in the Menzies era, and there'd been 23 years of Liberal government by 72, and when they decided to axe it. So the ABC management at the time was very conservative, and when Adventure Island was axed in 72, it was at the height of its popularity, and there's a lot of speculation around why it was.
It was a success. I mean, do we know? Do we know anything definitive about why it was axed?
Well, there's a few theories. One was that Godfrey was involved with the ALP at the time, and in fact he was the one who stage managed that amazing St Kilda Town Hall launch of It's Time campaign. And it's, you know, he was the magic man, and that magic moment when Gough and Lionel Murphy came through the back doors and through the euphoric crowd, that was all part of his staging.
Right.
And so there's some speculation that he was being punished by axing it. There's other speculation. Well, then when the Labor came in, a lot of the cast expected Labor to save it. And there were petitions in Parliament. There was, you know, bags full of mail from children who were just distraught at losing Adventure Island. But at the time, I think the sort of reformist kind of attitude within the left wing at the time was that children needed more kind of reality TV and educational programming. And this was all sort of, you know, dancing bears and little frou-frou and all the glitter on the panda's eyes. It was very high camp, very full on. But really it was probably just penny pinching, because Sesame Street had come in 69, and they could import an American product with American accents, American idioms, so much cheaper than supporting all the local actors and writers and...
if I come back to you, Liz, I think Sesame Street is and has been a great show, but
yes.
I mean, was there a sense that Adventure Island was sort of out of step with news style programs, or what?
I don't know, Richard. It's so interesting listening to you and Beth discussing it all, because I was just an actor who came in and did this show that we just loved and adored.
And you were loved and adored across the country.
Which was gorgeous. And we had the best time doing it. It was the best 5 years that I ever had in the business. And we just loved it. And it was so sad when it all finished. But we always thought that it was the sort of show that young kids, because it was between between 2 and 5 is just the sort of thing that kids just love, that fantasy. Yeah. And I think they still do, frankly.
I do too. I was looking at the YouTube stuff last night and thinking, why don't we do this anymore? But now Godfrey eventually left the industry, not before branching out into shows like Prisoner. I think you saw his name in the credits.
Yes. He produced Prisoner when it first started. So he was with Grundy's and I'd forgotten that he'd moved on to Prisoner, but yes, he was there, and where he went after Prisoner, I'm not sure, but he did do a lot of variety stuff as well.
Yeah, well, Beth, he did leave the industry altogether, not happy, disillusioned, and later he worked as a volunteer for the Salvos. Is he still remembered in television, though?
Well, I did a radio program in 1991 for the ABC, and at the time, you know, but this was before the internet, so in order to find out about old TV programs, it was books and articles and stuff, there was no mention of it. It was like a completely sort of forgotten, I think because it was children's TV, it wasn't considered as important by the kind of people who were writing it, and it was very hard to sort of dig down and find out because he had absolutely disappeared from the industry. He actually won a Logie for Special Achievement in 73, and then he went to, I think, Northern Rivers, and he did another program for children with Northern Rivers TV, and that won a Logie for Children's Entertainment in 79, but it was never screened. It was never picked up by any network in Australia, and I think that just broke his heart, and it was the last straw.
The word is that John Michael Howson will be at the memorial service today playing the goodbye song.
So I've been told. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. I think that would be the right thing. So I would like to thank you both. I'd like to thank you both for joining me today.
Can I just quickly say where that is if people want to go along?
I was going to do that. I was going to do that.
Excellent. And there's also, I've got an article in Unleashed Drum Media.
Okay.
It's about this if people want to read more.
Okay. So Liz Harris, actress, character of Lisa in Adventure Island, and writer and blogger Beth Spencer. You can find her article in Drum Unleashed. And the memorial service for Godfrey Phillip be held in Fitzroy at 2:30 at Sumner House, 67 Brunswick Street, Fitzroy. Let's go out now with the sound of the goodbye song. It was played on Friday's edition of Adventure Island.
It's time to say goodbye, goodbye. It's sad, but time's the reason why we must bid farewell for a day or two. So till you come back again.
Oh, that brings back my very early childhood. Coming up after the news, Ramona will be here with the book show, and today the careers and work of some pretty out there sci-fi authors.
That's right. The Paris Review editor will join us, Lauren Stein, to talk about William Gibson and Samuel Delaney. But also, you know, Kim Scott won the Miles Franklin Award last night, Perth writer Kim Scott, and we're going to be visiting an interview I had with him earlier this year about that book that he won the award for. So that Dead Man Dance is the award-winning book, and we'll hear Kim Scott as well as Lauren Stein.
All right, join Ramona after the news here on ABC Radio National for the book show. Tomorrow on our show on Life Matters, it's the Friday Talkback, Angry Boys. You've been watching, love it or hate it, that the latest Chris Lilly TV series, that's harder to say than it should be, is considered unmissable by young boys who seem to identify with its depiction of male adolescence in the 21st century. So who are these angry boys? Why are they so angry? Do you know one? Have a think. Give me a ring after 9 tomorrow.